everybody. Welcome to Sunday Night Fights Live. It's 4th of July weekend. I'm super pumped. We got a great show lined up. Let's get the one and only, the Intercontinental Champ of SoCal MMA Talk Radio on with us, Mr. Ray Lopez. How are you on this 4th weekend?
Doing really good, really good. I hope everybody out there had a good 4th of July. And we want to give a big old shout out to Jax Media for doing everything they do for us and for everybody out there. You guys need to hit them up and check it out. Our brand new logo, they put it together. I think it's pretty badass.
I love it, and you know, we're working on some more things for the show and stuff, and you know, we're gonna play the show out tonight with their commercial. James, mad love to you. Sorry, I messed up the intro this morning, but I tell you what, I didn't tell you this when we were talking before the show, because I wanted to tell you this on the show, but we've locked it down. It's a done deal. We bought RearNakedSmoke.net. It's now gonna be called the Madhouse MMA Video Vault, and it's going to be part of the Madhouse family, and we're buying all 40,000 videos in archive. We're going to be bringing in about the next 2-3 weeks a brand new state-of-the-art website. And Ray, this is for anybody at any sport: karate, sambo, judo, boxing, kickboxing, MMA, any promotion that wants to have their free stream, their iPay-per-view streams, or any of their videos posted there for better exposure. It's completely free of charge. We're not charging a penny. We're going to not charge any money for the service fees.
Wow, that's amazing. You know who we need to get on board with this? And I know he's not listening right now, but he'll probably listen tomorrow. Tony Padilla, you need to check that out, homie.
Yeah, it will be a place that they can either put their stream and have it embedded there for free with a shareable link, and they'll still get all the numbers like normal, you know, whether it's a live stream embed or a Ustream or a YouTube or a television stream, whatever kind of stream, as long as it's a legal MMA or combat sports stream, we're more than happy to put it on there and share it and promote it and give you a place that it can, you know, one more place. And I get, you know, the numbers, I don't want to get into the numbers, but they're ridiculous.
Yeah, I can imagine. And, you know, and then I don't want it to get out of the bag either, but what you were talking to me about a couple of days ago, you know, I can't wait till that's official and we can announce that.
Well, we do on today's Madhouse Minutes, which is now going to have a good home for all the vlogs for us. But we did touch on it, and, you know, might as well say it. Last week's owner of Pandemonium, Mr. Zimmerman, has contacted Madhouse, and we're going to be working extremely close with him, including being one of the few chosen sites to have this set of events coming up embedded for free viewing. That means the stream will be completely free. You're going to be able to find it on all the Madhouse networks, but we're also going to be working with them closely on press releases, highlight videos, post-fight, pre-fight interviews. All that material is going to be coming through the website, and we're going to share it with the fans around the world. We're going to help him really bring some exposure that he deserves because he puts on great fights.
Definitely. I mean, you know, you want to know about local MMA, you know, Pandemonium Fights, you know, that's where it's at. He's got the best of the best there, high-level fighters, so boxing and MMA.
Absolutely.
You're not going to see a single boring fight on his cards.
You touched on it, boxing and MMA. The hybrid, I love it. I said it that day on the show. I think it's a smart decision.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, you get the best of both worlds when you get something like that. You know, at first, I was completely against doing hybrid shows. When I first got into the sport. But after seeing how Pandemonium does it, I really liked it. And, you know,
yeah.
It brings the fans to cross over. You know, you get your hardcore boxing fans that are like, oh, you know, that's MMA, you know, that's a sissy sport, whatever. No, you're there watching a boxing match, then guess what? The next fight is an MMA match, and you're like, wow, I didn't know it was this good.
You know, I tell you what, you know, as a fan of obviously me and you both, we love so many forms of combat sports out there and grappling sports, but when you get to see one pure talent and one pure discipline at work and then watch a mixed martial arts match after that, you notice things. You start to see things. You start to understand other aspects. And I think it's a great thing, and I think it's an exciting thing.
I mean, you know, honestly, I mean, all MMA fans and fighters are boxing fans. They train in boxing. So, you know, our love for boxing has always been there. So this is, you know, boxing is a grandfather sport for MMA. Now, you get the hardcore boxing fans who are resistant to MMA, but once they get to see it, they get hooked.
That, you know, you're preaching to the choir on that one. You know, with me, honestly, I agree 100%. I think a lot of fans out there who watched the Bravo Gracie rematch at Metamoris, they saw jiu-jitsu at its purest form and fell in love with it. I mean, we saw so many people talking about that for days. And that's why I think we need more hybrid cards in America. You get more talent, you bring in new fans from different disciplines, and you create new fans. That's why, you know, and I'll be honest, folks, we're still working on the name. We might, you know, we haven't narrowed it down, but for right now, that's kind of what we're thinking is the Madhouse MMA Video Vault. You know, some people with, you know, in the team like, you know, other names, and so there's no guarantee on that, but the one thing we're going to do there is we're going to promote all combat sports and all grappling sports. You know, we started this weekend with the changeover, just doing a few things, but the Genghis Kong Judo Grand Prix was this weekend. And so we ran the links for all 3 days. That was 17 and a half hours of some of the greatest judo I've ever seen, man. It was so fun to watch. But, you know, Grappler's Quest this weekend, they did a free live stream that was 9 hours with all super fights. I mean, I watched Kat Zingango take on I can't believe I forgot her name. She is a young 19-year-old girl. Great matches. I mean, we saw so many top athletes. And that's the thing is, you know, that's one of the things I love about you, Ray, is you're not afraid to bring on a variety of people to this show.
Oh, no. I mean, you know, that's the thing with MMA. It's so diverse. And, you know, before I forget, you know, I want to give a big shout-out to Joaquin Ocampo. Last week he was in Chicago. He ended up taking the tournament, and we're still working on a segment for him to do on a monthly basis. But this kid took the tournament, took gold, all while having walking pneumonia.
Really? That's impressive. That's just...
Yeah, he was feeling sick. He didn't know what was wrong. He couldn't breathe, but, you know, they flew him out to Chicago. He didn't want to let his sponsors down. So he went out there. He did his thing, took gold, comes back home. Mom and dad take him to the doctor the next day. They get back to Cali, and he's got walking pneumonia. That's a beast. Hello, Skip, you there?
Yeah, that's
Skippy.
Can you hear me? I bumped the mute button with my elbow. I was all talking. I'm like, I said, that's tough, man. That's a tough SOB right there.
Yep. I mean, that kid, he's just amazing. And, you know, the fans wanted it. So right now, you know, I'm working with his parents. You know, we're going to sit down and talk to see what he can bring to the show. You know, give him a little segment once a month, you know, like we had discussed before. And, you know, we're going to go from there as soon as he's better.
Well, you know, today, you know, we talk about a lot about fighters and athletes and the differences and you know, fighters versus, you know, athletes that fight kind of thing. But, I mean, one thing that you could say probably honestly across the board between fighters and athletes is sometimes heart makes the difference in the, and you know, in the person.
Oh, definitely. And that's what makes you get to the next level with the heart. I mean, you can be athletically gifted and still not be able to get to the next level because your heart is questionable. Or, you know, you could be really good at something, but is your heart really in it? You know,
Yeah.
take somebody I'd rather have somebody on my team who's got nothing but heart and lesser an athlete, because we can get you the coaches to get you to that level if you have the heart.
Yeah, well, you know, we see it all the time. You know, a kid comes in and he's got raw talent and a great heart, and one day he's a world champion.
Well, you know, case in point, let's talk about Tarion Ware. Kid is a good athlete. I wouldn't say he's a gifted athlete, but he's a good athlete. As an amateur, he went 6-6. Great fighter, but it's his heart that's got him to where he's at now as a professional at 11-2. Going ahead and fighting for the Tachi belt. Already won the IFS and the Bama belt. The UFC is looking. Bellator is looking. And it's because of his heart. This kid does not know how to give up. He does not know how to stop training. You know, even when he's at home, he's still studying the game. Whether it's, you know, watching, you know, wrestling on TV. I mean, I'm not talking about WWE. I'm talking about college wrestling. Or if it's watching old Muay Thai fights or old kickboxing fights, old boxing matches. You know, he studies film, and it's not uncommon. You know, 4 o'clock in the morning, he's up studying film of, you know, somebody who was fighting back in the 70s. And it's like, this kid does not stop, and that's why he's where he's at now. And iron sharpens iron. You know, he's on a team with a bunch of killers, but he stands out head and shoulders above the rest.
Now, you know, we really haven't touched on tonight's guest, but tonight we're going to be talking with his wife and looking at the sport from the other side of the coin, which so many people don't really talk about or look at, especially media. It's always about the fighter or one coach, when we know that there's a team of people, whether it be, you know, a jits coach, a boxing coach, a wrestling coach, a strength and conditioning coach, a dietary coach, as well as moms, dads, kids, wives, jobs. There's so much more than just a guy getting yelled at, punching a bag, and then going into a cage and performing. It gets deeper than that, and that's something tonight we're going to talk about, with Cassie. And I'm excited. I think it's something that, you know, is not touched on enough. You know, go ahead.
She's very involved in his career, and she's been from the jump. And before she had Jaden, she was my assistant with Takedown, you know, and she went on her maternity leave and never came back. But she's still very involved in Tarion's career, and actually the other guys, you know, she'll be in my ear telling me, you know what, you know, that's a good fight, or, you know, maybe you shouldn't have picked that opponent for him, you know. So she's always in my ear. And she's always keeping me updated, you know, Tarion, he could be injured. And I'm like, how are you feeling? He's like, oh, I'm good. But then she'll call me and be like, oh, he's not good. You know, he needs to go see the doctor. And I'll call him back. All right, dude, I got a doctor appointment for you next week. So, you know, she's on it, you know. And, you know, my whole fight team, that's how we are. It's not just the fighter involved. It's the whole family involved. Like Isaac Velasco, his brothers are very involved. Our coach, Ian Harris. You know, we got, you know, his daughters, you know, everybody knows his daughter, and you know, she's always around too. And, you know, it's a family affair. It's not just, I deal with just the fighter. I mean, when Jaden was born, I kind of, you know, assumed the responsibility as not just a manager, but, you know, babysitter sometimes. It's like, you know, we're at a weigh-in, you know, Kathy's not there because she's got to work, so Tarion's got Jaden, so instead of standing up there on the stage with him while he's weighing in, you know, I'm back there, you know, holding Jaden or strolling him around so he's not crying. You know, that's how it is now.
Yeah, these kids today, you know, and when I say kids, folks, I'm talking like, I should say infants and little kids and stuff, you know, that you see growing up. You know, I would really, 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 really like to be able to come back in 10 years or 15 years and talk about, like, there's a young kid on the East Coast that we've been following since he was 12. He's been on our show a few times. He's 13, I'm sorry, because he's 17 now. And the kid's ranked number one in his weight class in the world in both gi and no gi, and ranked number three in the two weight classes above him. And, you know, he's so ready for that next step. He's been doing kickboxing since he was 9, jiu-jitsu since he was 7, wrestling all the way through junior high and high school. You know, can you imagine these kids, you know, like Tarion's family and the other kids in the gym and, you know, that are hanging around and learning this stuff? It's, what's the sport going to be like? I want to come back to, you know, Sunday Night Fights Live 10, 15 years from now and sit down and say, wow, you know.
Yeah, I think this next generation is going to be the generation that's really going to make this sport grow.
Hey, let me get Miss Kathy in queue. Why don't you go ahead and maybe talk a little bit. I'll be right back.
Well, you know, today's show we got Kathy Ware, Tarianna Flashware's wife. And she's going to give her perspective on the sport, on the flip side of it, you know, on the family side of it. Then we got Chris Crail from CSAC and CAML. He's actually a brown belt in BJJ. And then we're going to be closing out the show with Jose Suavecito Diaz, who's an undefeated MMA fighter. This guy has never tasted defeat as amateur or a pro. He's a beast, and even more so, he's a great guy, very fan-friendly. So, you know, this is going to be a good show.
Yes, it is. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Kathy,
let's
are
do
you
it.
Ready? We got Kathy Ware, Mrs. Flash on the line. Kathy, how you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing really good. Really good. You know, so for our fans out there, I mean, everybody knows who Tarion Ware is now. We talk about him all the time. But why don't you give them an insight as to who he is, you know, what he's got coming up next, his record.
Well, Tarion Ware is crazy. No, I'm just kidding. no, he is. No, I mean, he's a great person, dedicated fighter. He's a dedicated father. He's a great husband. He loves his team. Oh, hi, Jaden. Sorry, Jaden's in the background. Also, he's home now, so, yeah, but that's Tarion.
Cool. Now, as a wife, how are you handling this training camp coming up? I mean, it's his biggest fight to date.
This one, it's pretty good. It's pretty smooth right now. I just started working again. We're in the schedule to where, you know, he can train and watch Jaden, and I work, and it's going pretty smooth so far. It's towards the end. You know, the cutting weight and stuff, that's where it gets a little rough because, you know, he's not eating, he's not really drinking anything. So we have to wait. Every weight cut is different. He's had some really good ones. He has really bad ones. And so far, I mean, you know, the way he's going right now, I think this weight cut's going to be easy.
Now, you used to train before. So does that make it easier to understand what he's going through?
You know, I actually cut weight with Mel. You guys had her on the radio. It was actually the first time I've ever cut weight, and I did the whole thing, you know, I didn't eat. I woke up early, went to cut weight with her in the sauna, and man, that's tough, you know, it's really hard, and I can totally get why fighters get moody during the weight cut. It's totally understandable because I wouldn't be able to do it. I wouldn't be able to be either amateur or pro fighter unless I fought on my own weight, which would be, I would probably get smashed, but, you know.
Now, what's the hardest part? Is it dealing with him while he's cutting weight and he's home, or just him being away a lot training?
I think it's both. We try as much as we can to go to the gym with him, but sometimes, you know, getting Jaden to bed earlier, we're trying to get him in the schedule, but it's kind of hard when we go to the gym and, you know, not seeing him. And maybe I get an hour or two with him, and then the cutting weight is just, you know, the mood swings. And yeah, I would say it's both.
Cool. Now, how is it having Jaden exposed to all this, you know, him being in the gym and going to the fights?
Oh, it's awesome. Jaden loves the fights. He actually thinks he's cornerman, and he yells out in his own way, you know, like he calls out, I don't know, a game plan that he probably thinks he has. He yells at his dad, and he cheers. And, you know, he's really attentive to whatever is going on, whatever Tyrion's doing. And, he totally feeds off of the energy, the crowd. It's really amazing, actually.
And you know, I see him with his heavy bag. I see him at the gym. You know, he's really soaking everything up like a sponge.
Oh, yeah, definitely. He goes into the gym, and he gets mad at me when I don't let him go into the mats when it's team training. He just wants to train. That's all he wants to do, just like his dad. So I'm pretty sure I'm going to have to go through this again.
You know, I don't know if Tyrion knew this, but after his last Bama fight, when we were waiting for him to come down, I remember when Ian pulled out the mitts so Jaden could hit them, and Jaden wanted to hold the mitts, not hit them.
Yeah, he does that all the time. He actually, Tyrion was telling me that this week, Jaden was holding mitts for him. So. And I think either he's going to be a fighter or he's going to be a coach, one of those two, but I'm sure he'll be in the fighting world. I think I mentally am preparing for that.
Now, you know, it's different as a mother versus a wife, obviously. You know, they follow down the same path. You seem very supportive of it and understand that that's a reality. Is there a different path in your heart you would like to see them? Would you like to see them become a doctor, lawyer, or businessman? Or would you like to see them follow in their dad's footsteps?
I would like him to do something that he loves. And if fighting is what he loves, then I can't change that. I know it has a big influence on him, you know, going to the gym, team training, and he feels like he's part of the team. So whatever makes him happy as he gets older. If he tells me, Mom, I want to be a fighter, then okay, let's do it. You know, Mom, I want to be a doctor, then let's do it. Let's help you get it's hard. It's totally I actually was telling Tyrion that I want him to do Muay Thai because it's my favorite, and I want him to compete, actually. So I don't know if that's a little weird, I guess.
No. You know, if you've ever seen Buffalo Girls, obviously, the documentary about the two young Thai fighters, I mean, in that culture, it's pretty standard for a mom to want their child to become a famous Thai fighter and follow in that tradition. So it's no different for me personally as somebody listening to you than talking to a mom from Southeast Asia. So I think it's right. And I'm curious, you know, knowing that the bond that the gym provides your husband and the discipline that it's provided him and the work ethic that it's provided him, you know, your son sees this. Are you thinking that you'll have a better shot of having a child that follows the straight path and stays away trouble because he sees this teamwork and ethics so early in his life?
I think so, and I really hope so. But, you know, you can what I've noticed with my sibling is that you can teach them anything to be good, you know, be the best person in the world, but ultimately it's going to be his choice of how he does things in life. And preferably I would like him to stay the straight path and, you know, be disciplined. He's actually going to start soccer on Thursday. So, you know, I want him to know that there's other options besides MMA. I want him to know that it's, you know, he could do anything, and that he could do MMA and soccer, or MMA and baseball, MMA and, you know, whatever. But hopefully, I know he's going in the right path, and he knows where to use it. You know, he goes to the gym, he knows he can box up anybody. If he sees one of the guys, he goes up to them and he goes fight. He puts up his hands and he goes fight. So he definitely knows where to use it. Daycare, when he was going to daycare, he didn't fight anybody. It was only either at home with his bag that Ray bought him for, like, as a gift. You know, he'll put on his gloves and go fight, and that's what he wants to do. So I think it is giving him discipline, because he obviously knows where he can fight someone and where he can't.
Yeah, well,
check this out.
Yeah, go ahead, Ray.
He gets mad if you hit him with an open-handed strike. You got to have your hands closed when you hit him.
Yeah, he's in that case. And now he's learning combos. So, we'll go 1-2, 1-2, and he goes, and he'll, kick and throw in a kick. And I'm like, we didn't deal a kick, and now he knows that he'll grab Mickey Mouse and he'll throw him on the mat. And he'll, get side control. And I'm like, okay, baby, knees. And he'll actually use his knees. So it's pretty exciting watching him.
Now, Ray, I want to jump in for a minute. And I'd like to talk, we're talking about, somebody who has a super deep spot in your heart, in your child. The first time you saw Ray fight in person, the first time you saw him fight in person, how was that for you inside?
Oh, my God. I thought I died. I had a lot of anxiety. I was shaking. I was cold. I was sweaty. I don't know if Ray remembers this, but I was out of control. I had the shits. I wanted to blow up. It was the worst feeling in the world. But after it's almost been 4 years, that I've seen him fight, monthly, sometimes 2 times in a month, 3 times in a month. I mean, from amateur and pro, I've gotten better. I'm no longer that, that wife who was terrified to see her husband fight. Now I don't get nervous unless I see cues from him. I know him so well, and his body language, and, when he's hurt and stuff, so... that's probably now the only time I freak out. And I have Jaden, so I don't have time to freak out, because he feeds off of my energy. And, it's completely different from the first fight to this one. But definitely this fight coming up on August 7th at Tattoo Palace. It's a big one, and, I'm a little nervous, but not so much. Because I know of what he's capable of doing. I know he has a good team. I know this training camp has been amazing. It's been amazing. Actually, that whole weekend, Thursday through Sunday, there's a lot of teammates who are fighting. So it's a busy week. It's a very strong and very active training camp right now. So I'm sure he'll be fine.
Now,
yeah, there was one fight in particular that Kathy became unraveled. And I think we all did, because we saw a different fight than Terrion saw. Terrion actually got knocked out, but the ref didn't see it, and he came to.
Oh, my God.
He ended up getting submitted, and so Kathy comes up to, when he's walking out of the cage, and she's in tears, and Terrion walks out of the cage, and he's like, why are you crying? He doesn't hit that hard. And then somebody recorded the fight on the phone, and they showed him when he got knocked out, and he was like, oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that was, I think that's, besides the first time that I saw him fight, I think that was one of the lowest that I've ever felt. Seeing him, his body just flop on the floor like that, but the way he got up and he was just swinging, he didn't know what the hell he was doing. He was so out of it. And I remember as soon as the fight stopped, I was all the way in the back and I jumped tables. I just wanted to make sure he was okay, and he was like, I'm fine, so what happened? Nothing happened to me. And it was a pretty ugly feeling, too.
Now, talking of ugly feelings, weight cutting, how is that around the house?
What do you mean?
When he cuts weight, is he a super friend? Most fighters I know, especially towards the end of fight camp when they're cutting weight, they get a little bit grouchy.
You're putting it lightly. They get really grouchy.
I have a nickname for Captain Terrion. They're always arguing around weight cuts, so we call them Sammy and Ronnie from the MTV Jersey Shore.
Hey, cut those side. We've gotten better throughout the years. A little bit. But we fight a lot. Either because I didn't close the ketchup right to where's my straw. You know, we fight over everything. But it's okay. You know, it's part of the process. And I feel like if he's mad at me, that gives him an advantage because he wants to get that anger out of his opponent. So I take a lot of credit for that.
And they have smokers at their house.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's true, because we just had a smoker the other day in the kitchen.
We went up with a house one time to watch a UFC fight, and, you know, I took a date with me, and started watching the fight. And in between fights, the two of them are going at it, you know, submitting each other. And so much that this chick got scared and never called me again.
Well, see, that was good, because now you have Julie. Shout out to Julie. Hi, Julie.
Hold on. You know, and I don't know, we probably... 20 episodes to show into Ray's Sunday Night Fights Live. He has never once mentioned Julie, so yeah, give
what?
Her a big shout out.
I've never said her name.
Yeah, hiding their names from all the fans.
So Ray's girlfriend is Julie. She is amazing. I'm speaking for right now. She is amazing, and I'm so glad that we scared off that girl because it gave Julie a chance. So.
and Julie actually loves going to the gym because whenever we go to the gym, she always steals Jaden and takes him for a walk, and she tries to monopolize all of his time.
Oh, yeah, Julie is amazing, and I'm not just saying with my son, but I mean with Ray. And she's, you know, ever since she started dating Ray, she's been very involved, and she wants to help out and everything. And it was good because at first it was just Ray and I. I mean, I don't know
yeah.
how much time, I mean, money, tears. I mean, we've come a long way, I think. And
yeah, Kathy used to
hate me before.
Things
getting better. Yeah, and then I got pregnant, and then I just stopped. But it was for the best. And Julie's taken over what I used to do before for takedown. And thank you, Julie. Thank you. You're awesome.
Well, thank you for that, Kathy. You know, it was a great time having you on. Right now is your time. Go in and shout out whoever you want to shout out. You know, anybody, friends, family, any of Terrion's sponsors, teammates, anybody you want to shout out personally, you know, family members or, you know, whatever, you know, go for it. This is your time.
All right, thank you. So thank you for having me. I hope I didn't talk too much. I am giving a shout-out to Systems Training Center and Team Victory and Terrion's, all of his sponsors. I can't remember all of them, and I don't just want to shout-out specific ones. But thank you, Takedown, Ian, you know, everybody, his team, everybody that either comes out and trains with him, who's ever donated money or for the shirts, you know, just everybody, anybody that supports him because it's supporting my family, obviously. And I'm very grateful that he's found a gym where he fits in, and it's more than just a gym, you know. We're actually family. We hang out. And I couldn't ask for anything else, and thank you again for giving me a chance to talk to you guys.
Oh, we want to thank you for coming on, and, you know, thank you for everything you do for Terrion and do for the team, because, you know, Takedown wouldn't be where it's at if you weren't part of our team.
Thank you, and shout out to Terrion. I know that I don't always, I guess, show that I'm appreciative, you know, for the sacrifices he made, but I am, and I love him, even though I want to kill him sometimes. I guess that's normal in every marriage, but thank you guys.
It wasn't my first three. Not joking. Hey, it was a pleasure talking with you tonight. Thank you for letting the fans kind of get a different look at the sport and the athletes in it by giving us your insight onto the fight world. You know, and I want to tell you what, we wish, you know, Terry on the best. He's going to go out there and grab another belt down there at Tachi and just keep going.
Yes, and hopefully they show it on Sherdog. So just save the date, August 7th, and we'll keep you guys posted. Thanks.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Oh, great interview, Ray. Nice young lady. Definitely fun. But I'll be honest.
She's like a sister to me. Well, I mean, Terrion's a little brother to me, too. But, you know, it's more than just a business relationship.
Well, I got to talk to, you know, our next guest for a quick second before we got him into the queue. And I'm excited. You know, this is somebody new for me to talk with and you know, find out about, but I like his attitude so far. I think he's going to be a great guest for all the fans listening tonight. So why don't you bring him in?
Oh, we got the man himself. He's a CSAC official, also a CAMO official.
Come on, more of it. Come on, Ray.
he's also a brown belt in jiu-jitsu. He's also a mad scientist. What's up, Chris? How's it going?
Good, man. For the record, anybody that knows me calls me Creo. Okay, so last time I was called, you know, my government name is Christopher, but I think I got called that in the first grade when I was in trouble. So, please, call me Creo.
Dude, the government.
That's right. Everybody
name.
Does call you Creo.
I like that. My government name. Oh, that's
yeah,
God.
Man. Hey, I just want to say thanks for having me on. I'm sitting here rocking my my Takedown shirt, which I really like.
Nice.
Got a nice
Thank
little.
You.
It's got a nice little V-neck to show off my chest muscles.
Nice. Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, supporting. So.
Yeah, let's get into it, man. What you guys? Well, let's talk about it. It's going to be hard to follow the Ware family over there, but that's cool.
I'll tell you what. Let's start first of all because you're somebody new to me, but. We got fans, I mean, from China to Tampa, you know, Florida listening tonight. Why don't you tell everybody who you are and give us a little bio background story on you?
All right, real quick, man. So my name is, everyone calls me Creo. I'm a martial artist at heart, man. I'm a black belt in Taekwondo, a brown belt in Judo, currently a brown belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I've got a black belt in Aikido. I wrestled 10 years, 8 years competitively. And I actually got into officiating for CAMO, which is the California Amateur Mixed Martial Arts Organization, through a training partner of mine named Mike Beltran, who everybody knows him because he's got this long mustache / beard. I don't know what they want to call it, but real good friend of mine. Got me hooked in there, put in some work, and then I made my way up to the pro show, which is CSAC, so that's what I do now, but... it's kind of my hobby. It's not my full-time job. I have a full-time job. Anybody who works at CAMO or CSAC knows it's not a full-time job per se. It's more of you do it because you love the sport. So that's why I do it. So that's who I am in short. You know, I'm really a wrestler, jiu-jitsu guy who just trying to get back to the sport that's given me so much. So that's pretty much it.
Go ahead, Skip.
I was going to say, you're somebody that has obviously under the understanding of the CAMO system and has progressed through it. I'm curious your opinion, seeing fighters, training yourself, and working with CAMO. What do you think about the blood work and the medical work that fighters are getting today? Do you think that it's enough? Do you think it's often enough? Do you not agree with it? How often it is and what they're testing for? What's your opinion on that?
I know CAMO is a great organization. You know, it's run by a guy named JT Steele. Like, the one thing I like about CAMO is you have to do every job there, and really you become acclimated to the whole mixed martial art environment. So a lot of the fighters have got to do all their blood work and medicals before, and I know you always hear people complaining how expensive it is, but it's for the safety of the sport and for the fighters. I've been in plenty of fights where some of them on the amateur side where I'm judging and you just get blood splattered everywhere, and, you know, I think it's part of the evolution of the sport, and it's a necessity to protect the fighters, which is the ultimate responsibility of the organization, is to make sure all the fighters are safe, because there's a lot of, you know, bloodborne diseases going out there too. So, I mean, that's just my take on it. I think it's a, you know, it's a necessity, and I know it's expensive, but it's better than catching some type of disease, you know?
Do you think that the amateurs should be tested the same as pros?
Yeah, I don't see why not. I think it's a lot of these amateur guys, man. I mean, they want to be pros. I mean, everyone wants to be an MMA fighter until they get hit in the face. But, like, I've seen a lot of these guys come up in the amateur cards to the pros, and it just shows them what they need to do and how to prep. So that's really what an amateur show is to get you ready for the pros, you know. So I think if you – obviously, they probably do a lot more testing on the pro side, especially with you know, scans and everything else you need. But I think it's a good starting point, because it's a necessity just to make sure everybody is safe, because that's really the ultimate goal, to make sure that the fighters are safe.
So – With your obviously passion for the sport, and once again, you know, your pedigree that follows it, do you feel that the amateur rules are set fair enough to prepare them for pros, or do you think that they're too limited?
No, I think they're fine. I mean, they're always evolving the rules, because if you look back at CAM a while back, like, the fighters used to have to wear rash guards, you know, and you get a lot of people complaining about rash guards, and then they went away with the rash guards. They went with the shin pads, which some people were saying, I don't want to wear shin pads. But if you think about it, I mean, you don't want to get kicked in the head and be out, you know, for 2-3 months and not make any money. And you're not making any money as an amateur, right? So you want to go out there, show off your skill set. But, you know, if you got to go to work on Monday, at least you can go to work. It's pretty hard to go to work with a concussion, you know?
So that's true.
Yeah,
well,
they're always involved.
I've done that a couple of times.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, what, you know, what job you do, Ray?
Oh, right now I'm doing I'm just managing and doing the show. But yeah, before, when I had a 9-to-5 job and I was playing minor league football, yeah, I do that all the time.
Yeah, see, I don't know, man. That's rough, though. But some of these guys, listen, I think people underestimate. There's a lot of guys out there training for a fight's a lot of work. Diet's expensive, you know, if you can get the right diet. I always tell people, like, it's funny because, like, if I had $3 in my pocket, I couldn't get nothing healthy to eat, you know? But I can go to Jack in the Box and get, like, 2 tacos and some fries and a soda. But I can't even buy a good sandwich, you know? It's, like, it's expensive to eat healthy, man. And you get these guys that are lean and cut. They're not eating Taco Bell looking like that, you know?
That's very true. Now,
go ahead, Skip.
As you say, you know, talking about, you know, dietary and the cost, you know, amateurs out there, obviously, like you said, don't get paid, and they're still working, and a lot of pros are still working 9-to-5 jobs because they're trying to make it. In your experience, what do you think an average camp dietary cost, you know, costs somebody, changing the way they eat, the supplements, all that? What do you think that runs an average fighter?
You know, it's going to vary from fighter. I don't know, man. Some guys, you know, genetics is going to play a big part of it. And some guys just have genetically good bodies, you know. They don't have to – some people can have metabolisms, and some people need a supplement a lot. So I think it just varies from fighter to fighter and camp to camp, or what you want to get out of it. You know, it's an evolution. It becomes – you know, when I used to cut weight for wrestling, I used to cut tons of water weight. But you get it down to a science, but it's still taxing on your body, you know. So – I mean, they'll never do same day weigh-ins, which would be crazy, right? Like,
no,
you have so many fights fall out.
I'm sorry, but I understand the reason they changed it, because a title fight fell out one time years ago, you know, and it hurt the promotion. But
yeah.
I think same day weigh-ins, and correct me if you disagree or have a different opinion altogether, you know, but I think this mass weight cut at the amateur level is dangerous, and it's not good. Until you're ready to go pro, there's no reason for you to be cutting 30 pounds.
Well, you know, amateurs do same-day weigh-ins. Amateurs weigh in that day of.
In camo?
Yeah, camo. They weigh in the same day.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
Yeah.
See, look at this. You're educating me today.
But you notice that, like, you can look at a fighter and look at him and be like, that's a normal-looking guy. I mean, even if we go to the pros, man, you remember a few years back, like, everybody in the UFC was, like, a bodybuilder that can fight, right? Like, you're like, dude, how do you get that many muscles and fight that well? And then they started probably changing the test, and everyone started looking a little more normal, you know? Now you see, like, normal-looking guys, but in amateurs, man, you weigh in the same day. There's not that big weight cut, at least in California. You know, so... But, you know, you can cut a lot of weight and rehydrate really quick if you do it the right way. You know, but I like to, you know, it's like jiu-jitsu matches. When I do jiu-jitsu matches, you weigh in right before your match, and if you don't make, if you're 0.1 pound over, you're disqualified. You know, you don't even get a chance to redeem yourself.
But so. I'm curious, okay, wrestling, MMA, jiu-jitsu, what percentage are you cutting? Are, you know, obviously wrestling is traditionally the heaviest cutters. But are you cutting the same amount of weight in a jiu-jitsu tournament that you would cut for an MMA fight or a wrestling tournament?
You know, I doubt it. Well, you got to figure in a jiu-jitsu tournament, you got to weigh in with a gi, so you got to take into account how much your gi weighs, right? So, like, I mean, some gis, you can get them as light as 2.5 pounds, depending on how tall or big you are. And some gis, I mean, I wear like a, you know, I wear a kimono fighter or sometimes a Krugan gi, which are traditional Brazilian gi. Some are double weave. They're probably like 6-7 pounds, you know, of pure cotton. You know, it's hard to cut, you know, hard to cut weight and then have that big old thing on. But, you know, jiu-jitsu, obviously, you fight within your weight class too. And the range is a little bigger, you know. So you can go, let's say, like one weight class starts at 181.5 and it goes all the way up to 195 pounds, you know.
Yeah.
But then you got to take into account how much your gi weighs, right? So, but, you know, I think if you're an athlete, you get it down to a science.
Let's switch directions here, Rick, because this is something I've been wanting to ask you, and I haven't. And asking you on the show, probably the best place to ask it. You know, with you being an official for CAML and CSAC, and you see some of the ways that some of these judges score, what do you think is going to help this sport get judges to score better?
You know, you know the hardest thing? It's kind of like when you're sitting there judging, you got to realize, like, everybody's angle is different. When you sit there and you watch it on TV, you get, like, a kind of a bird's-eye view, right? And sometimes it's easy to, like, sit there and be like, oh, it should have been this, should have been that. But you don't know what that guy sees or what he doesn't see, you know? He may have an angle where he doesn't see what you saw, or the guy gets rocked. You see it on TV because of the angle, but he doesn't. You know, I think, like, especially in California, they put a lot of the judges I know that are out there, a lot of them train, man, you know? A lot of the refs train. I mean, I train with Mike Beltran. I know he trains. I know Jason Herzog trains. I know Mike Bell trains. You know, like, all these guys that are up there now, you know, Andy Foster came into CSAC and just kind of wanted guys that knew what they were doing in there, you know? So it's just, it's hard, man, because when you're there, you have a certain angle, you see a certain thing, but when you're sitting there watching on TV or you've got something vested in a fighter, you see it a different way, you know?
Yeah.
So it's hard. I mean, it's kind of like when a guy gets taken down and you're like, oh, get up. Like, you know, obviously you've never been taken down. Sometimes it's hard to get up, man, you know? You're grinding on somebody there. I've done it all the time. You sit there. Hold somebody down, you got to hold them down for a minute, no problem, you know. But on TV, you look at it and you're like, oh, dude, I'll just get up. You know, it's not that easy. So I think as a, you know, you get guys in there that know what they're looking for, but you can never take away that angle, man. I've done some shows, they stick a judge right next to a pole, you know. It's kind of hard to see what he, you know, his field of view is very limited too, right? So it's hard, man. It really is, and I think when you're on TV, the camera's moving around. It's getting every angle for you. Even though you're sitting in one place, you're getting every angle. But when you're sitting there judging, it's different. You got one angle. It's right in front of you. That's it, you know?
Do you feel that single angle hurts the judging as well as, you know, the point system? Do you agree or not agree with the way it's set up today?
You got three judges. Right, so two of the three got to see something the same. I mean, it's going to be hard. You put a prompt there in front of you. It's hard to look at a fight. The problem with a fight too is you're trying to judge effective damage, right? And sometimes you don't get that on the TV. Like, sometimes you hear body shots when you're right there at a fight, man. Them body shots are hard, but you don't get that on TV, you know?
Yeah.
Like, the fighter looks like he just took that body shot, but, like, you're just sitting there, you're like, oh, man, that was hard, you know? So it's like, on a TV, there's no you can't really hear the hard shots or see how effective it is or see the guy grimace. I know we all got high-def TVs now, but sometimes you don't see that unless you're just sitting right there looking, you know?
Yeah.
So,
no, I agree. I mean, you know, as somebody who covers events all over, there's a major difference. I mean, you know, we talked about it last week, me and Ray, about the electric, you know, the electricity in the air when a fighter's walking out. You know, that's something you truly don't feel watching TV, just like the strikes or noticing small things. Like, I've judged fights, you know, the camera doesn't zoom in. You don't see the handwork when the guys have got the back, and you don't see them hand fighting because the camera's from an odd angle. So you don't see the guy on the bottom is actually, you know, producing a defense. It just looks like he's being ridden from the back, but the hand fighting is so critical at that point. But like you said, a ref might be blocked from seeing that, you know, but hopefully two others pick it up.
Yeah, the judges. Yeah, the refs are right on it, man. But that's also important to know. I notice that stuff, too, on submissions, because sometimes the guy's got the wrong angle on the submission. On TV, it may be like, oh, man, he almost got choked out, but the guy was never really in danger, you know? You have a wrong angle, your hand's not all the way through on the guillotine. I mean, yeah, you're holding the head and stuff, but there's no threat of a choke, you know? And the guy's working the hands or... So.
You think that your ability, obviously as a brown belt and a wrestling competitor and doing all the different things you do you think that gives you that insight that some referees just don't have because they never trained or fought?
Like referees or judges?
Referees and judges, both.
You know, there's something to say, like, you know how you have people that are, like the term I use is like, you have people that are book smart and street smart. You know what? And the difference between the two is, like, you can get some guy who worked his whole life at a factory who knows the process and a guy who went to school his whole life and you read about the whole process, but who's going to know more, right? It's the people who actually do it. So judging is you have to also work on your judging, right? So you have to – every fight you learn something from it. Like, oh, you know, I looked at this or I should have looked at this more. I think every fight you judge, you should really take away something that you can learn from it. So I think if you judge enough fights, you become good at judging, you know? But you have to judge it for that sport, right? If you're a referee, you end up learning how to be a good referee. It's not something like you're just not born a good referee. Everybody starts from somewhere, really, right?
I agree.
It's like if you look back at whatever, I don't know, Skip, whenever your first radio interview was, you probably hear that now. You're like, what was I thinking, right? And then now you're like, all right, I'm flowing through this, man. I got my questions down. I know the process. You know, I know this guy.
I love that.
You know,
that's true.
It's true.
You're 100%
true, right?
Right? You're right. Because
you like,
go ahead.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, you sit there and you're like, now you're probably writing down questions. Let me get this guy's name right. Let me figure out what I'm going to do, a time slot. But you go back to your first one, and you're just like, you don't even know you got the name guy's name wrong. And you're like, you know how it is, right? So I think if you do something, you become good at it. Hopefully, if you have an open mindset where you're going to learn something, right? And that's really the ultimate goal is you got to go in there with the criteria that they give you to judge a fight with, and have an open mindset. And then, like, typically at the end of every show, we sit there and we talk about the scores or what happened, and that's really where you take your notes and learn. Whenever I judge a show, I write notes between every round. That minute where the fighter's talking to his corner, I'm usually writing notes in my little book about why I scored a round and what I seen, right? Because if someone says, hey, why'd you give that guy the round? And I was like, wow. You know, like an example, why'd you give that fighter the round? He was on his back the whole time. I'm like, yeah, dude was on his back, but he was going for like a triangle. Then he went to Oma Plata. He came back to a triangle. You know, like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right?
I do. I got to tell you, I think that's important, and I like the fact that you do that. I wish I heard that from more referees, because something as simple as a guy being on top. Once again, you know from your training, Ray, we all do, that watch BJJ. Just because you're on top does not mean you're winning a fight. I've seen guys from the bottom who are just constantly attacking, and the guy from the top never lands a solid punch or even gets any off. And, you know, you'll see a judge who doesn't understand what is going on, or, you know, just say, hey, you know, the guy was on top, he got the takedown, it's his round, even though the guy from the bottom threw 8 sub attempts, you know, had him in a nasty, you know, go-go plata at one point, whatever it may be. He just thinks because he's on his back. But then you can sit down as these guys are learning when you discuss and address that. I think that's – I find it interesting. I think it's something that's probably lacking in a most referee and judging, you know, region sanctioning bodies, because I tell you what, they don't do that here in Oregon. Oregon's horrible, man, you know. I'll tell you right now.
The problem is you get like certain states just have a lot of fights where there's a lot, you know, there's a lot to go off, right? I mean, California, Vegas, you know, and there's a lot of fights here. And like the problem is sometimes when you're trying to work this craft of judging, like you're sitting there, you're watching a fight, you can't really watch the fight because you're looking for the criteria to judge a fight. It's so different, you know? And whenever I work a show, I always tell people like, yeah, I may take a picture here and there with somebody, you know, or I see people I know, but it's really, I mean, you're really working. Like these shows, you're not just hanging out all day, not doing nothing. There's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes people don't realize, like to make a show run smooth, to make sure everybody's, you know, they're on a level playing field, the gloves are the same, the short, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in all these pros and amateur fights that you don't notice because on the TV or if you're there in person, everything's just running smooth. There's a lot of people behind the work, man. Like when I started Camo, what I loved about Camo was that they just, you get right into it, you start working. Like I remember my first Camo show, man, my boy Anthony Kalis was the first guy that ever trained me back there. You know what I mean? I love that dude because he was just like, let me show you how it's done. And that guy's a hard
worker. Anthony trained you? Oh, man, now I know why you keep making mistakes, bro.
Yeah, well, dude, you know what I love about Anthony? If it was me and Anthony, we hustle, man. You know what I mean? So, like, he's a hustler. Like, he wants to work hard, get all the stuff we need to get done, working, and then going, you know? And I was lucky. I had him, like, guys like Greg Fajardo and all those guys. Obviously, my boy Mike Beltran always took me over. He used to go to all the TFA shows with me and stuff. So, you know, it was a good learning experience. If you want to learn everything.
I mean, that's a great group of guys that you mentioned. I mean, they're all great guys. And, you know, I joke about Anthony. I know he's listening right now, or he's going to listen later. He's watching.
Or at least hopefully his girlfriend's listening.
I know she is.
My boy Anthony, yeah. So, I mean, it's just a good group of you. Most shows I work, man, they're like great groups of guys, man. You know what I mean? Like, and, yeah, obviously, Mike Beltran is my boy. I trained with him for many, many years, you know, so it's kind of like you go there and it's your family and we all know what we got to do to get it done and we all work as a team, get it done, and then, you know, just try to kind of enjoy it a little, but make sure everything goes according to plan.
Speaking about behind the scenes, what's the craziest thing you've seen happen behind the scenes?
That's hard to say. There's so many things, you know. Sometimes, like, for us, like, when you're an inspector, man, your number one priority is to make sure those fighters are safe, and you see guys who just pour their heart out in them cages, man, and just, you know, for some reason just start throwing up, so you got to worry about that, but I haven't seen anything crazy. Everyone's pretty professional, even on the amateur side, you know. There's no beefs going on back there, and everyone's pretty polite. I try to be pretty courteous to everybody. I want them to have a good experience, you know, but...
Have you ever been an official, an inspector, or a ref for an opponent or got a corner room? Because basically, let me just lay it out. Down in Florida, a referee who was also an inspector, he did 6 of the fights and then inspected the other, you know, the gloves and everything. Well, he was related to the other guy, one of the guys fighting on the card, and he inspected him, and, you know, there was a big issue that his gloves and the tape job was different, and Have you ever run into anything like that? Because obviously you have a lot of friends in this business, it sounds like. So have you ever had anybody try to throw loyalty in your face?
You know what? I remove myself from that situation. If there's a fighter that I that maybe I train with that I know, I'll tell the lead inspector or whoever, and be like, hey, listen, I can't work this corner because I know this guy. Or, okay. You know, I've never had it on a judging aspect, you know, per se, but if that ever happened, I would – it's my job as an official to make sure they know that so we don't have this issue, really. You know, so if there was a fighter that it was like my really good friend I hung out with every day or, you know, was like a good buddy and I was going to judge his fight, I would not judge it.
Okay, cool.
And you know, that works both ways, too, because I'm a fair judge, man. If you're my friend and you lose a round, you lose a round. Right, but that can cause some issues on the back end. But it's not the professional thing to do, in my opinion. You know, like if it was my good friend and was fighting, I would just remove myself from that fight. You know.
You know, speaking from the other side too, as part of a corner, when you have friends that are officials or refs, you don't want to put them in that position where they're going to make a questionable call. So you stay professional too. You know, Mike Beltran's a good friend. Now, I'm not going to put him into a position where, you know, they're going to question his decision-making. You know, and doing shows with these guys every weekend, you do get to know them. And you, as a corner, we need to keep everything professional. When it's time to clock in, it's time to clock in, and it's work. We go have a beer after, you know, win or lose. But while we're there, it's all business.
Yeah, you know what? I'm pretty thorough with everybody. I try to keep it professional with everybody. And, you are going to form bonds and relationships with people, but like you said, man, when it's time for business, hey, I got to check your tape, I got to check your guys, I got to check your raps, I got to do all the stuff that my job requires, because that's my job, really, you know what I mean? And so, if someone's trying to pull something on you, or you're letting them pull something on you, you're only cheating yourself, and you're cheating the system, really, you know? So you're doing the sport an injustice. That's how I see it.
Would you train? You talked about hand wrapping. I just want to touch on that. What do you do when you see somebody who is not maybe understanding? Because you deal with amateurs a lot coming through camo. I mean, you've got to have guys there who don't understand how to wrap hands correctly. So how do you address that? Can you show them or can you make suggestions as an official or can you just tell them that's a bad wrap?
I mean, there's only certain things we got to look for, really. I mean, the amount of tape, the amount of gauze they use. The big thing is not having any tape over the knuckles. But you can't tell somebody how to wrap a hand. If they want to wrap a hand and you think it looks bad, that's not your job. That's as long as it fits within your guidelines of a hand wrap. You know, if they want to do, just two pieces of tape on the hand or they don't want to wrap them at all, that's up to them. You know, you really can't tell someone, hey, you need that's not a good-looking hand wrap. Now you can tell them, hey, that hand wrap, that's not a legal hand wrap, then we have a whole different issue, you know?
Okay.
So, you know, and you'll always get guys that they'll be like, hey, I've been wrapping hands for so many years, and be like, you know, I mean, I understand that. This is the guidelines, you know? Like in the pros, it's, 2-inch tape, gauze, you know? But you can't have any tape over the knuckles. It's got to be an inch behind the knuckle. You know, stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
I've seen some inspectors. They'll tell you as you're doing it that, okay, you know what, that's not going to work. You need to redo that part over again.
Yeah. A lot of guys, once you do a lot of shows and they know how you work, like a lot of guys will ask me, like, especially on the pro side, they'll be like, hey, I'm going to set my tape down that goes, you know, close to the knuckles. I always just put my finger down. Or I'll put a little marker, put a line there on them for them so they know we're not to pass the tape, and then we're good, you know?
Yeah.
And then a lot, I mean, I've never had a problem really with a hand wrap in MMA side. Most guys are, you know, these guys are in there banging every day. They're not trying to throw a fight out for a piece of tape or some gauze, you know?
Yeah, no, so. I agree. I could sit here and pick your brain all night, man. I'm enjoying this. I guarantee, and the fans are loving it. You know, this is just good talk. I mean, these are things that, you know, a lot of people just don't understand about. You know, with all the duties you've learned going through, you know, camo and working your way up, is there for you as a referee, like, an ultimate goal? Is there a league, or are you just happy always being part of that family that you're with now?
I started off in CAMO as an inspector, and then, you know, I took the certifying course for the state, and I'm a judge for amateurs, and I hope to work myself up to be a judge on the pro shows, you know? So it's just, you know, work in progress. Obviously, it's a love for the sport. It's not I train, you know, three times a week. I teach a class once a week. It's my hobby, really, is what it is. And this happens to be, you know, officiating happens to be just a byproduct of my hobby. You know, I've been doing martial arts for years, so it's just kind of one of those things that it's kind of nice to have a payoff. I always tell people it's funny when I wrestled in high school, I used to get, you know, you got made fun of back then, you know, like, you know, some of the names people would call you, and it's just like, you know, you always hear the slogan, and I always tell people that wrestling really saved my life, you know, because I had a great high school wrestling coach, you know, shout out for him, Franklin O'Connor, but like a great guy just, you know, took me from the street and just kind of really saved my life, you know, and if you don't know what a grind is to wrestle, then you don't really know a grind, but I wrestled, wasn't very popular, you know. And then
we were like outcasts back in the day.
Yeah, when you graduated college and you wrestled, the only thing was to do was either be a college wrestling coach or a high school wrestling coach, or that's it, you know? And I just got lucky where Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu was, you know, it was fairly new back then, you know? And I trained over at New Breed Academy, which is probably one of the only schools besides the Gracie Academy in L.A. County. And, you know, Carlson Gracie Sr. used to sit on the couch and coach us, and a lot of great guys come out of school, like my buddy Noah Tillis, who got out of school, came out of New Breed. And we used to sit there, and Carlson Gracie Sr. used to yell at us, and Waleed Ismail used to yell at us, and, like, anybody who's anybody went to that school, man, and, like, jiu-jitsu back then was tough, man. You're a white belt, you roll with black belts every day, you just got beat up. You learned how to not get beat up by rolling with top-level guys, you know? So all this other stuff, like the officiating stuff, is kind of just a byproduct of something I like to do, which is martial arts-related, man, so.
Cool, bro. Now, we're just about out of time here. You know, right now I want to take a couple minutes for you to go to shout out whoever you want to shout out. This is your time, bro. Go for it.
Man, you know what? I'm just here to enjoy it, man. I just want to thank you guys for having me on. Everyone else, they know what's up, man, so I appreciate it.
Cool. Thank you for coming on. I've been wanting to have you on for a while, bro. You know, and finally, you know, I was able to get you on, and, you know, we'll definitely have you on again because there's, like, so much that we haven't even touched.
Yeah, I'll catch you next time in the cage somewhere for sure.
Oh, thank you. I think I'd like that. Just as long as T-Bone Steaks isn't there to watch, he might get jealous.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to catch Skip. You up in Oregon, Skip?
Yeah, he's up in Oregon. We're trying to get him to come on.
He's probably, you know, he's doing this stuff. All right, man, I appreciate it, Ray. Thanks for having me on, bro.
Oh, thanks, bro.
I got to pick up some more shirts for me, man. It's a good deal on them shirts, and they fit really well, dude. So quality product.
Oh, definitely, bro. We're going to be coming out with some new stuff, so I'll definitely hook you up, bro.
All right, man. We'll catch you later. Thanks, man.
Thanks a lot.
Peace.
So now we got our next guest coming up, pro MMA fighter, Mr. Suavecito himself, Jose Diaz.
No, not yet. His phone's going straight to voicemail. It's not even ringing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. I sent you a message.
Yeah. Oh, you know, okay, no, I didn't see that. Hmm. Okay, we'll come again in a few minutes. You know, he's expecting the call. I was chatting with him all morning. So,
Yeah, I figured, you know, it happens occasionally. Krill, definitely a great guy. I enjoyed talking to him. I like picking his brain because, you know, I'm not as super knowledgeable on CAMO as I am maybe, you know, some of the sanctioning bodies of the Pacific Northwest and the Midwest and the East Coast that I've had a chance to deal with, you know, over the years and talk with over the years, you know. So it was really cool to talk to him.
You know, and Krill, you know, he's a great guy. He's really knowledgeable. You know, when you're in the locker room and you have a question, you take it to him, and he's going to give you the straight answer. You know, he doesn't play favorites. You know, not that anybody does. But
I liked his answers.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and he's a great guy. You know, definitely knows what he's doing. He knows the sport. So, you know, when I see him judging, I know we're going to get judged fairly.
Yeah. Well, I liked how he, you know, talked about, you know, angles on TV and sounds that are, you know, maybe not showing up on TV as, you know, differences, you know, just small things like that. Obviously, he's been trained right, and he's, you know, he does a good job.
Yeah, and you don't see too many, well, in my experience, I haven't seen anybody try to pull one over on him because, you know, they know how thorough he is. You know, and that goes for most of CSAC and Camel. I've never seen anybody try to cheat in the locker room. You know, I haven't seen anybody try to cheat, period.
Yeah, you know, this is a hard sport to cheat in.
It does happen.
Very rare.
But usually it happens in the cage while they're trying to do an illegal move. You know, it's not something really going on in the locker room because usually these locker rooms are open. Everybody, you know, in your corner, you know, in the red corner or blue corner is in that locker room. So, you know, you don't want to try to cheat in front of, you know, 10 other caps.
Yeah. No, this is a very honest sport. You know, there's too much respect in this sport these days for people because they want to test themselves against the better, fighter. I mean, you know, the only thing you're cheating is your true desire and accomplishment if you do. I mean, if you a real fighter truly wants to fight the best fighter possible, not an injured fighter, not a sick fighter. You know, not a fighter that had his girlfriend leave him 3 weeks before the fight, so he didn't train for 10 days. You know, a true, like, top talent fighter wants to test himself against the very best.
And don't get me wrong, there are fighters like that that will take the easy fights. And, you know, if you're going to be doing that, why are you even fighting?
Good point. I agree.
You know what? I didn't see that the whole UFC card yesterday. I haven't seen the one today yet. But I did see the Ronda Rousey fight. I mean, you know, 16 seconds. Who hasn't seen it? Man, that girl is a beast. I am no fan of hers, but she is a beast.
Yeah. I caught the clip this morning. I'll be honest. We talked about this earlier. I watched 17 hours of the Genghis Kong Judo Super Grand Prix. That's what I watched. I also watched Falea. Combats down in Brazil this morning, and last night I caught some of the Channel 3 Thai fighting from Lumpini Stadium. So I didn't catch any of the UFC yesterday or the World Series. I did see the highlights of my boy Cody. Did great. Big shout out to Cody Bollinger, kicking butt. I also saw the video that's going around of the Nick Newell fight. I don't want to upset anybody. I'm not going to get too deep into this, but I will say that it was hard for me to watch. I was not happy with watching that fight. So I wish him a speedy recovery. And Justin Gaethje is – it's hard to say he's a beast because I felt like he didn't face somebody who had the talent a level he did. So – that's just my opinion, folks. You can go ahead and send me all the hate mail and Twitters you want, but that's my opinion. I do want to see Justin fight some other people to really cement his legacy as the World Series of Fighting title holder. And I guess the John Finch fight was like super boring lay and pray, which is surprising because Holman's got, 41 out of his 50 fight wins or finishes? So how he got grapple humped the whole time, I don't know. I got to watch it. But all in all, I was happy with what I picked this weekend to watch.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't want to say anything I shouldn't say, but I know somebody who's gunning for Ronda, and I believe she's the complete package. She can stand and bang. She can tear the ground. She's prettier than Ronda, so they're going to be able to sell her more. You know, we had her on the show a while back, Melanie Lacroix. I'm just saying, watch out for that name. She might be the one who beats Ronda.
I like it. I think that's good advertisement for her, and I believe she has talent, and like you said, she's well-rounded, and I'd like to see her face a couple of individuals. Maybe we start her out with, you know, the number 13 at 135. She gets that victory, drop her down to the number 8. She grabs that victory, give her 5-4, you know, depending on who's available right around that time, and then, you know, give her a number 1 contender shot after that. I think it's a fair run. If she can demolish 12 and make it look easy, you drop her down to 6 or 7 then. And if she demolishes them, you give her a number 1 contender fight. But if she just gets wins and solid wins at that, you go like 12, 13, you go 7, you know, 8, and then you go 5, 4, and then number 1 contender. And we'll see where she's at.
But that's if Zufa does it the right way rather than who gets the most tweets.
I like that answer. Hey, look, we're going to try this on live air. Let's see if he's available.
Let's do it.
Oh, it's ringing. It's ringing.
Oh, Jose, what's up? You're on live with Sunday Night Fights Live. What's up, brother? How you doing?
Nothing, man. How's it going, guys? How's everybody doing?
Wonderful.
You're great, bro. Why don't you give our listeners a little insight to who you are, your name, your record?
All right. My name is Jose Diaz, Suavecito. And I'm fighting out of Clever Jiu-Jitsu in Huntington Beach. Welterweight. That's 170 pounds, 77 kilos in Brazil right now because I'm fighting out in Brazil, so we're doing kilos. But 170 all around the world. And, yeah, I'm 24 years old. I'm from California, born and raised. Just, you know, ready to do my job. And in a couple of weeks, I'm going out to Sao Paulo. So I'm ready for that right now.
Nice. You're 3-0 as a pro, undefeated amateur record. You know, you've offered Spar Star many times. In fact, that's how I met you through Tony Padilla at one of his parties at the Tap House, I think it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, that's Spar Star from Amelia.
Speaking of that, are you going to be at the barbecue next week?
Of course, you know I'll be there. I'm not going to be able to eat that much, but I will be there.
Hey, you talked about Brazil. Can you, for the fans around there listening, because I've got a fan on the East Coast who just asked me, what event, and can you tell us a little bit about it?
Okay, so, yeah, sure. It's Jungle Fight Championship in Brazil.
Oh, yes. The best Brazilian league going. I'm a huge
it's the best.
JF freak.
It's the
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to make you stop talking. I was just saying, man.
I couldn't hear for 1 second. Sorry about that. It's crazy over there, man. Jungle Fight's super big out in Brazil. You know, there's a lot of great fighters that came out of Jungle Fight. The promoter, the owner, Walid, he's a real cool guy, man. He's a real stand-up guy, straight up with you, you know what I mean? He just gave me an opportunity to go out there and, you know, showcase my skills, you know, and just represent where I'm from and, like, my gym and, you know, my culture and everything, being from Mexican descent, you know, and just going out there representing, man. So it's really a great opportunity, and it's big out there in Brazil for sure.
Now, you're on Jungle Fight 71? Or Jungle Fight 71? Okay.
I believe it's 71, July 19th. I think that's it.
Yeah, because before that, they had the Jungle Felia, or however you say it, because I'm a horrible white boy that never practiced my Spanish growing up. But, that was the last event they had, the one down in the Barrios down there, which was amazing. One of the things I'm curious about, obviously you fought, you've been in fights, you understand the game, you understand going to the cage, but I don't know how much you know about Jungle Fight, but if you've ever seen their events, they're cram-packed. They're super hot events. The temperature inside there is usually ridiculous. But the fighters they bring onto there are action-packed fighters. So without knowing you, obviously they found somebody they feel like's a finisher or an exciting fighter because that's how they usually match up their fights. Are you at all intimidated about going into such, you know, 70 events they have already completed? It's a loved, loved, loved event worldwide, but especially in Brazil. That's going into, like, hostile territory. Are you ready for that mentally, or does it even bother you?
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, it's hostile territory for sure, you know, but it's just business, you know what I mean? I'm going out there, they're paying me to do my job, and, you know, that's what I get ready for, to just go out there and finish people as fast as I can and as soon as I can, you know, and, you know, they're not discriminating me against, and they're not just, you know, discriminating at me, against me at all, you know, they're giving me an equal opportunity, and they're giving me tough guys, you know, and they're, you're right, there's a lot of tough guys out there, you know, and I just believe, you know, I'm one of them, so I'm there for a reason, you know, and it's pretty cool being over there, man, and soaking it all in. It's definitely, you know, at first I was a little bit like, oh, man, you know, I'm going to Brazil. I fought two hometown guys over there back-to-back, you know, and, you know, the crowd's intense. The people are amazing. The atmosphere is, you know, epic, if you want to say that, you know, It's pretty intense, man. It's pretty cool, but I believe I thrive off that environment and that kind of setting. So it brings the best out of me, you know, and makes you train really hard. And you know, I can't wait to just, you know, make a fan of all those Brazilian people. So it's really cool.
Do you know much about your opponent or anything, like who you're fighting for us?
Nah, both times, man. You know, I haven't known my opponent. I think a couple times I knew a little bit, but I don't really know much. I don't know who I'm fighting yet. And that's kind of, it's cool to me. You know, I don't really care because for me, I'm training to be better at this guy at everything, you know what I mean? And I'll have answered the day of the fight, you know. He's a really good grappling guy. I'm ready. I've been grappling, you know. My submission skills are good. My ground and pound wrestling's good. So it's up to par, you know. My stand-up's good, and got a kickboxer, you know, I have good kicks, I have everything, so I'm ready to go, but I don't know who I'm fighting, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter.
Now, you said that you fought for Jungle Fight before, the flair of the international scene, is that something that you're really digging?
Well, for sure, I love it, man, I love it, and the thing is, too, like, you know, I really enjoy it, you know what I mean? And that's what I wanted. I wanted to go overseas, international, and fight. You know, that was my goal. That's my plan. And I plan on doing it after I'm done, you know, fighting for Jungle Fights. You know, I'm fighting for Jungle Fights right now, and I'm working my way towards the title shot. And I want the title, and, you know, and then I want to go do some other stuff, too. But definitely the international appeal is definitely what caught my eye, and, you know, I like it a lot, you know. It's cool, man. It's cool getting to travel, you know, and just experience different stuff. So
I'm glad you said that, because we've been telling kids that for 5 years, 4 years on podcasts. Man, while you're young, travel and get paid to do what you love doing, and that's fighting. I mean, the cultural experience, the food, the friends, everything, it's better for you all the way around.
Yeah, no, I agree, man. I agree, especially for young guys out there, you know. There's a lot more than what they're fed, especially young fighters, too, you know. I believe they think that, you know, that they have to do what everyone else is doing, you know, and I don't believe that's the way it is, you know. I believe martial arts is your own path, your own journey, and, you know, you don't have to just go, hey, this guy did this, you know, do something different, you know. Be original and you know, this is only the tip of the iceberg, pretty much. You know, you could take it pretty far. So I'm trying to, you know, I got a plan in my head where I want this to go. So things are going on the right path, and I just keep training hard. Hold on one second.
That's some dead air.
Yeah. Sorry for that.
Oh,
so
that's all right.
I how long have I been with Jungle Fights?
No, how did you get involved with them?
I got involved with them with my coach, Kleber Luciano.
Well,
my coach knew him from back in the day in Brazil and stuff, you know, and got him a lot of fighters, and they know each other, and then, you know, that's how basically I got hooked up with Waleed. So after that, you know.
Yeah, those of you who don't know Kleber, he's a Bellator fighter. You know, he's definitely, you know, fought on a big show. And he's a black belt. His jiu-jitsu is just sick. His striking is sick. You know, he's,
yeah, Kleber's an OG, man. Kleber's been around since, you know, the beginning of it. Kleber had, like, you know, first jiu-jitsu school in Huntington Beach, and, you know, he's got a lot of history to his name and everything. But he's definitely, he's helped me out a lot, and he's showed me a lot of things and stuff. He's a really good guy, really good instructor, too. But yeah, you know, he's fighting out there, too. He's still fighting, 40 years old, still mopping kids up, man.
Well, yeah, I mean, his last fight here for Bellator was when he fought off my boy Joe Camacho, and I mean, he just schooled Joe. I mean, Joe just, he couldn't do anything right in that fight. You know, Bieber just had the right game plan, and, you know, he just destroyed him.
Yeah, rest in peace, Joe, man. Rest in peace. He's a legend, you know. Joe Camacho, man, he's a legend, man. And Kleber is really, you know, he was really honored to have fought him, you know, before he passed and everything, you know. Kind of tragic, but yeah, you know, and that was, I love that match. To me, that was like a BJJ legend match. They're both, like, you know, legendary black belts, and they, you know, they fought in the cage. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was definitely a good fight to watch. And, you know,
hey Ray, I'd like to ask, you know, when you go down to Jungle Fights, are you down there a couple of days in advance? Do you stay a couple of days to experience it? How does that work?
Yeah, I try and this trip, I'm staying out there a little bit later. I'm staying out there a week after, and then I'm going to probably go travel to Rio and go train a little bit and just enjoy
Connection
it.
Rio. Dude,
yeah,
you got to hit up Connection Rio. I love them guys, dude. Ashy's a – dude, that's a great facility. And obviously you've had a chance to be down in that area of the world. When you have chances like that to go to a great facility like Connection Rio, where they have hundreds and hundreds of people from around the world and coaches always guesting, I mean, you got to try to take advantage if the opportunity's there. Are you going to try to roll with anybody in particular while you're in Rio?
I haven't really thought about it, actually, to be honest with you. But, you know, wherever Kleber is going to take me, he's probably going to take me to Gracie Umaita or something like that, because those are his peoples, you know, that's where he came from and stuff. But I don't know anybody in particular. Right now I'm just focusing on the fight, but, you know, I'm definitely going to think about that now, because, you know, that's probably, I should have at least one or two ones I want to hit up for sure. But I was going to go wherever Kleb took me, you know. But I just want to stay out there a week. You know, this time I'm getting downtime after. I'm going to be able to stay after I'm done with the fight, but usually I get there anywhere from 3 days to, like, a day before weigh-ins. And sometimes, you know, I don't have the leisure yet of arriving a week before my weigh-ins and getting acclimated to everything, but I get accustomed pretty quick, you know. I never experienced that much jet lag. They're only 6 hours ahead of us in Sao Paulo, so it's not that big of a deal to me, you know. I just kind of arrange my sleep cycle on the way there on the plane, or if I have connections and stuff. But definitely going to check out Gracie Umaita, I think, if there is anyone, you know, wherever Kleber takes me in Rio. I'm not sure yet. That's a good question. Got me thinking now.
Yeah. Now, we spoke earlier about, you know, about the barbecue next week. When you're in training camp, what's the thing you miss the most?
What am I thinking the most?
What are you missing the most?
Oh, missing the most?
Is it donuts? Is it, you know, Pepsi? You know, what are you missing the most during training camp?
Man, probably be, like, that's a good question. Maybe, like, I don't know. I try not to eat red meat, and maybe red meat, or, like, maybe some, like, ice cream or something. You know, I'm not a real big soda drinker. I stopped drinking soda, and I stopped, like, energy drinks or nothing like that. So I'm not really, don't crave, of course I crave soda sometimes, but I'm not really like, oh, man, I want pizza or nothing like that. You know, I've kind of been cleaning up my diet, so I don't really eat like that much, but probably about, like, a nice steak, you know what I mean? A nice steak and some beer, maybe a nice cold beer and steak. That's what I'm missing right now.
Nice.
Well, we won't talk about food then tonight because that's not fair.
Now, you know,
and everybody's barbecuing this weekend. Everybody's got them barbecuing, so I'm like nitpicking at everything, you know.
Now, you know, you're a young athlete, pro athlete. You know, you're fighting in a different country most of your pro career. Do you come across groupies at all? And, you know, how do you deal with that, you know, when you're here, you know, out of the club or whatever?
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, it's different because people are going to notice you, you know what I mean? And it comes with anything. You know, people are like that. It's like if you're a bouncer at a club, you know what I mean? Girls are going to flirt with you because they want to get in. And so, of course, you get that, you know, with fighting. You know, girls like fights, so they enjoy them. They like to watch the men, you know, win, beat another guy up. So, whatever. In Brazil, it's different. It's like, I don't speak Portuguese, so I'm not, like, talking to all these Brazilian girls, you know what I mean? But they're staring at me or whatever, just looking at me at the fight. But then I go back to my hotel room, and it's just, like, nothing. It's like, I go back to my hotel room, I'm just, like, chilling. You know, I'm back with my coach, like, talking to him. We're like, all right, let's go eat, you know? So, it's crazy, though, but people have recognized me off the street in Brazil from watching me on TV the day before because it's on Sports Combate TV in Brazil, and it's like regular TV out here, so a lot of people watch it, so people are, like, looking at me, oh, yeah, I know you, you've seen you, you know, lute, they're telling me I've seen you at the fight, you know, I know a little bit of Portuguese, I'm like, oh, okay, how's it going? They want shirts, and they want everything, they'll ask you for your shirt right off your back, it's crazy.
you know what, fighting in South America, you know, being of Mexican descent, Mal Robles, what's up? How come we're not getting him on Combate Americas?
Hey, right?
Say it again?
Dude.
Say it again?
Go ahead, Ray. Sorry, man. You're right on that.
Yeah, Mal needs to get you. He needs to get you up on Combate Americas. I think that would be good for you. You know, I don't know what your contract is with Jungle Fights, but that might be something great for you to get on.
Yeah, maybe, man. Maybe, you know. I'm ready to go for anything, you know, as soon as I'm done doing what I got to do. I know a lot of people are like, man, I want to get you over here. You know, I want to do this. I want to do that. I'm like, all right, you know. I'm keeping it definitely in mind. There's a lot of things, you know. Man, there's so much. That's what I'm saying. There's so much opportunities for people out there. And, you know, everybody, I want to go to UFC. I want to go to UFC. I want to go to UFC, you know. It's like, or they want to go. They'll fight for pennies, you know, in the UFC or whatever the case may be. And, you know, that's not me. I'm not going to do that. You know, I know what I'm worth. I'm going to go get what I'm worth. So
I'm telling you right now, I am standing up in the studio saluting you, young man. I hope you write a book and every amateur fighter in the world reads your book.
Cheers. Thank you. Yeah, no, it's true, though. It is true, man. It's true.
Dude, you know, it's funny you say that. Look, one of my heroes and one of the guys I know and have talked to privately and think the world of is Jeff Munson. Yeah, he had a couple fights in the Zuffa realm years ago. But, you know, between his fights and his wrestling and grappling seminars that he does all over the world, this guy's a legend. He's a GOAT. The guy has made his name and made his bones all over the world. He's fought the best, and he has made a ridiculous amount of money doing it. Because he didn't end up retiring Hall of Fame UFC does not mean he is not one of the greatest fighters out there.
I agree, man. Jeff Monson is a legend in MMA.
Dude, I mean, he's still fighting, man. Literally, I think it was 8 weeks ago, he fought 6 out of 8 weeks in 4 countries. I mean, come on. That's a beast.
Wow. That is beast. They shouldn't even call that beast. That's like above beast, man.
Yeah. But see, that's the thing.
He's a monster.
Yeah. He's just like you. He has that thing about, I want to fight. I want to get paid what I'm worth, and I want to have fun doing it and travel. And there is nothing wrong with that. That's why you're by far one of my favoriteest guests we've ever had on Sunday Night Fights Live. This is the mentality fighters should have.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, it's about making a living, not signing with an organization.
Yeah.
And you know, as a manager, that's what I shoot for. That's what I tell my fighters. You know what? I want to get you to a point where you're making a living at this and making a good living at it. I don't care who the organization is, as long as they pay us what you're worth.
Yeah.
Agreed, man. Agreed.
Take it. You know, hey, you know, before, you know, we wrap up with you, man, why don't you take some time, man, anybody you want to shout out, sponsor, social media, anybody you want to thank, family, friends, whatever, you take this time, man. If you want to rap, go for it, whatever you want.
You got a beat? I'm just kidding. I'll get off, man. I got that freestyle, man. But I'm telling you, I'll say this. Well, first off, I'd like to thank God, you know, because it gives me the strength and the courage and everything I got to go put forth my plan, you know, what I want to do. And, you know, my family, second, because they're here where nobody else is, you know, and nobody else was. They're here before everything, before coaches, before teammates. You know, they had my back since day one. And then, you know, of course, my coach, Clever Luciano, Clever Jiu-Jitsu, Mike Giovanni, my personal trainer, you know, he's always keeping me in shape. I just teamed up with Jason Perillo, my boxing coach, Vulcan Jiu-Jitsu. You know, they laced me up with all kinds of stuff. Suavecito Palmade is my main sponsor. Another one, who else we got? Am I missing anybody? Nutri Shop, my local Nutri Shop, Huntington Beach. You know, they support me. And, you know, everybody, Far Star, you guys, man, everybody, you know what I mean? Every little bit counts, you know, even the people that pat me on the back and tell me, hey, good job, man. You live it out there, anything, you know? So I thank all those people, man. You know, I couldn't do it without support. You know, of course, I'm the one in there getting my fights and getting the work done, but, you know, a lot of it goes into my family and, you know, my relationship with God and just keeping straight, man, and working hard. You know, getting those W's, and follow me on Instagram, man, at Suavecito MMA. Follow me on Twitter, The Real Ideas, and just watch me, man. I'm gonna do big things.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've watched the last 25 jungle fights. I'm not gonna miss yours, brother.
Nice, man. I'm gonna keep you dialed in because I plan on doing some things over there, so.
Yeah, definitely, bro. We'll have you on the show again, you know, after your fight, tell us how it went. And, I mean, it was great, bro. I want to thank you for coming on. And, you know, you definitely made some new fans today. Everybody's going to be watching now. And,
cool, man. Yeah, you know, I appreciate everybody and everything. You know. Just want to, you know, do it for everybody else out there.
Cool, brother. Go ahead, Skip.
I was going to say, dude, you just keep doing what you're doing, son. You got the right mindset, the right talent, and the right tools in that bag. And, man, you just take the world, man.
Man. One day at a time, baby. One day at a time. Let's do it.
Just like I said, Cage is a fucking
world. All right, cool, man. Well, you know, thanks for coming on, Jose. You know, definitely get you back on again after your fight. Tell us how it went. And good night, brother.
Yeah, I'll tell you guys all about the crazy Brazilian parties I go to.
All right.
Oh, definitely. We want pictures, too.
Pictures. Oh, maybe not that far. I don't know. I could DM you something. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
All right, guys. Peace.
Later, brother. Man, that's a cat I like, man, Ray. This kid right here is going places. You trust me, Madhouse is going to keep an eye on him. I mean, I had fans from New York, fans from Alabama, fans from the Midwest, all sending comments, messages, loving this kid, man. This is what we need more of in this sport, is kids like this who had talent, who have the right mindset behind that talent, and who aren't focused on a goal that, you know, that so many others are. He has a goal to be the best and to fight the best, and he's going to do it his way wherever it takes him in the world. And he's not just like, hey, I'm not taking a jungle fight because Zuffa doesn't know about it. You know, this kid's like, hey, I'm going down there to fight because there's somebody who thinks they can beat me, and I'm going to take a paycheck and some sun time on the beach after I'm done whooping this kid. So this is what we need. This is what the sport needs so bad these days, is young fighters like him who are willing to take that SoCal MMA and go to Europe or go to Brazil or go to China or go to, you know, the Philippines and bring that culture, that fight style, that team, and expose them. And I love it. I love it.
Oh, exactly. And that's how this sport needs to be. You know, that's where you're going to have these bigger promotions where they're going to start to pay more money because these guys are going elsewhere to fight.
I was thinking right now, you know, I got people sending me names. Big shout out to HR. He's been, you know, listening to the show. Hey, what, you know, this guy fought for Jungle Fight. This guy fought for Jungle Fight. You know, he's in a great organization. If you're not a Zuffa zombie, you know what JF is, period. And this door at Jungle Fights could open the door to EFC Africa or maybe Rough China or maybe Dare down in Bangkok. You know, maybe he hits an event in, you know, Abu Dhabi and ends up fighting for Desert Force Fighting Championships, or maybe KSW calls him and he goes to Poland, because his door is open. He's not afraid to take those other international fights that so many kids are, because they're concerned that it's out of the country, Zuffa won't care, Zuffa won't pay attention. And this kid doesn't. And that's what's important, man. He has a dream to be the best and make a living doing it, and he's on the right track, period.
But I'll tell you what, when you get seen, you know, internationally, and you get asked by a sheik to go fight at a private party, they're paying 3 or 4 times more than Zuffa just to fight at a sheik private party.
Dude, the Prince of Jordan, a couple years ago, a friend of mine threw an MMA event there, and they mounted the RFA cage in the middle of his pool, okay, it was beautiful. The cage was mounted into the pool. There was a ramp, and the mat was like 5 inches above the waterline. It was beautiful scenery set up. I know for a fact that the rooms that they were put in were $2,800 a night rooms that the fighters were put in. I also know that the Prince of Jordan paid $300 to have a Madhouse banner made and hung for this event. I mean, like, these people, you're right, you never know. Look at Kenny Gardner getting, you know, $200,000 fighting in M1 Global. You know, it's a Russian league that has ties as deep back as UFC, has had historic champions who have gone on to fight all over the world. And he's made some really good money, Kenny, over there. Never once cared about coming to fight in the States for the almighty Zuffa machine. So, and folks, I'm not saying that you shouldn't fight for Zuffa, and I'm not saying Zuffa is bad and boo, and, you know, look, I don't like the way they do business. I don't believe that's the ultimate answer for the sport, is to have one organization that chooses what and when and where MMA goes. I think we need 50 Jungle Fights and 50, you know, UFCs and 50 World Series of Fighting, so that these fighters have places they can go and fight regularly and make their talent way. This kid, I guarantee you, this kid that Jose we just talked to, he can walk into an organization and say, look, here's my record, you want me? And they're going to say, why? There's what's special about you? Then he's going to say, oh, now I'm the real Diaz. Here's my record. Here's my international following. Here's my wins. Here's my walkouts. Here's my sponsors. You want me? I need X amount. Well, now all of a sudden they're like, oh, we got to have this kid. And they're talking. Now another organization down the street says, well, I'll pay you more because you're talented and I got a better fight over here. And this is how somebody like Jose takes his talent and makes people pay him what he's worth by getting him on their card, because he's not locked down to a contract that allows him to fight once every 18 months unless he's top 8.
Well, I mean, exactly. You know, I'm not saying anything about the UFC. I mean, you know, a lot of fighters, that's their goal is the UFC. And you know, my fighters, a lot of them, that's their goal. And we're going to do what we can to make that goal happen. But as a manager, I need to look out for my fighters' best interest. And if that's the UFC, great. If that's Bellator, that's great. Now, what I'm doing is trying to give them a future where they can make money and put it away for their future, or, you know, build a brand for themselves regardless of their organization. You know, if that's UFC, great. If it's Bellator, great. If it's UFC Africa, great. If it's M1 Global, great. You know, I don't have a set target. I just want to make my guys a profit.
See, I wish we still had Jose on, because I would have loved to ask him. You know, because we did this on Facebook last year. We said, would you take $30,000 fight in M1 Global, or would you take a free fight on the undercard in the UFC? And so many people said, I would take the free fight. And I don't understand that. I got a feeling that Jose would have said, give me the 30 grand, I'm flying to Russia, and I'm about to whoop somebody and eat some borscht, you know? I wonder, you know, how he would have handled a situation like that, because so many people think that's the ultimate answer. But when you look at some of the pays and how often they're fighting, look, if you're Sam Cecilia, you're lucky because you're one of those last-minute guys who they call every single time somebody misses a fight. But unless you're top eight, you're not Sam Cecilia, you're fighting once every, we'll say 9 months, okay? Let's say once a year you're fighting every 9 months, okay? Well, let's say you make, you know, $8,000 for your fight. Is that enough to live on for a whole year?
Definitely not.
Yeah. I mean, but if you got offered, let's say they offered you 10 to go fight a jungle fight. Well, then you know you're down a jungle fight. They're putting on events just as heavy as any other major promotion in the world, but their fighters are rotated, man. You see their fighters. You go look at jungle fight records, man. You'll see guys who fought 8, 10, 12 times in a 3-4 year period, you know?
Well, you know, and as a manager, it's very important to be honest with your fighter. You know, are you the fighter that once you get into Zuffa, are you going to climb the ranks, or are you going to be a guy who fights once a year? Or, you know, rather than taking the 8-8 fight that they're going to give you if you win at $16,000, can we go somewhere else and fight, you know, 4 or 5 fights for $5,000 and make more money than you would in a year with Zuffa? But then again, if you're the type that's going to be climbing the ranks, when you see something special in the kid, you know, I know we say his name all the time, Tyrion Ware. Tyrion Ware is going to be the UFC champ one day. And I'm not just saying that because I'm his manager, because I know his work ethic. I've seen where he came from. He's not going to be one of those guys once he gets in that he's going to fight once a year. He's going to climb those ranks. The fans are going to get behind him because of the person he is. Now, I have other guys who are just as good at him as at fighting, but they don't have that charisma either. So, you know, we need to go elsewhere where you're going to make that money fighting off more often.
Well, and, you know, that's something else is, you know, there's certain fighters out there who need to fight, you know, 3, 4, 5 times a year because that's how they stay best. And then there's other fighters who can sit for 10 months and come back and be just as good.
Definitely. I mean, there's a place in this world for every kind of fighter out there.
You know, well, Ray, it's been really, it's been a fantastic show. And everybody, the real Jose Diaz, follow this kid, man. This kid's going to be a superstar. You guys get out there and follow him, man. I'm going to. I started tonight, man, and I'm going to watch his fight. I also got to thank Cassie and Krill, both wonderful guests as well. But I got to say, Jose stole the show, maybe. He might have stole the show there.
Yeah, and I knew he would. You know, the kid, he's got a good hand on his shoulders. He's very charismatic when you meet him in person, you know, but he's not unapproachable. He's just a normal guy. You know, when I first met him, I didn't even know he was a fighter.
that's great, dude. That's even better. Because that means he's not walking around 10 foot tall and bulletproof with an ego too big to fit in a Hyundai.
Exactly. I mean, you know, we were taking shots with Tony Padilla at one of his UFC viewing parties. And thought he was a great guy. And it was until a couple weeks later that I found out he was a fighter.
Well, I tell you what, this week, it's going to be a crazy busy week. We got shows all week. We got press releases coming. We got a bunch of new stuff in the works. Ah, man, I'm ready. I'm ready to wrap this up and kind of relax a little bit tonight, maybe catch a little boob tube. For everybody out there listening tonight who might have missed, I did not see tonight's event, but I'm understanding that BJ Penn – he lost, and I guess it was either a boring or a very sad fight to watch. Also, we talked jungle fights. I'll give this a quick shout out because HR dropped it. Jungle fight had two veterans tonight. Martins and Pia Puig both fought each other at Tough 19. Martin gets the first round KO. Big shout out to HR for loving on us and giving us that. I want to thank Takedown Grappleware, Jax Media, Madhouse, and you, Ray, for everything.
Well, thank you, Skippy. You know, thank you for all our listeners. And they're what makes the show. But, you know, without them, you know, we'd just be bullshitting with each other.
Hey, do me a favor, fans. Why don't you guys get out there and share that page for us? We've been at 300 likes for like a week. Let's get us up to 400 by the end of the week. You guys can help. Let's do that. Everybody get out there and share that page. Show some love. Ray, you want to get some shout-outs before we play out some Jax Media?
Definitely. You know, like I said, we got Terry Onware fighting August 7th. Also, Demond Morris fighting August 7th for King of the Cage. Just got the tickets for Sparstar MMA August 9th. Anybody needs tickets, hit me up. I got that special deal for our listeners. What else? Ty Bethley fighting on Explode July 19th. Come on out and check that out. You know, you'll get to see Matt Betzold out there. You know, he met him a couple of weeks. The one-legged fighter.
The leg breaker.
The leg breaker. Also, Jonathan Santa Maria is going to be on that card. You know, it's going to be a packed card. It's going to be an all-day thing. I think it starts at 3 and goes on to 11 o'clock at night. It's going to be worth the price of admission. I got tickets for that, too. So, you know, hit me up. Thank you, Skippy. You know, people out there, you know, enjoy your weekend, the rest of it. Don't drink and drive. And we'll see you guys next week.
And you know how I end every show. Eagle!
Jax Media, helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success. At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media, design with an edge.